Aids to Devotion by Andrew Murray. Chapter 9. The Spirit of Missions. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. When reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into this secret of Christ. Now, this secret was not disclosed to people in former generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, namely, that through the gospel the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. The more one studies the Epistle to the Ephesians, the more one is impressed that the standard of New Testament religion it sets before us is but faintly realized in the Church. Its whole tone is so intensely supernatural that nothing less is needed than a life identified with the life of Christ under the unceasing presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit to fulfill its meaning. In the first chapter of our epistle, Paul set before us the source of the divine life, followed by the unceasing prayer that that life might be revealed by the Holy Spirit in the heart of his readers. In chapter 2, we had the communication of that life, God himself making us alive in Christ and making us his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And now in chapter 3, we are taught that the proclamation of that divine life is equally the work of God and his Spirit. As definitely as the origin and communication of his life is a supernatural one, so the provision for its being made known in the world is entirely supernatural too. Here the exceeding glory of God's grace is set before us in a new light. In chapter 1 we had his grace that he freely bestowed on us in his dearly loved Son with the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In chapter 2 we had the surpassing wealth of his grace and kindness toward us to be demonstrated in the coming ages. And now in chapter 3 we have the dispensation of that grace of God which was given to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, and of which Paul was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the exercise of his power. In the ministry of the gospel, the riches of God's grace are to be very specially demonstrated and magnified. Paul speaks of the mystery, or secret, of Christ, and says it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members, and fellow partakers in Christ Jesus. Of this mystery he has been made a minister, or servant. And just as it was through the Spirit that the revelation of what had been hidden in God through the ages was revealed, so it was under the presence and direction of the Holy Spirit that the work was begun and was to be carried out of bringing the gospel to every person. We read in Acts, the Spirit said to Philip to speak to the man of Ethiopia. The Spirit said to Peter to go to Cornelius. The Holy Spirit said to the praying company at Antioch, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit that liberty should be given to the Gentiles in Antioch. We read of Paul's being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and of the Spirit of Jesus not allowing them to go into Bithynia. Paul speaks of what Christ worked through him for the obedience of the Gentiles in the power of the Holy Spirit, and of his ministering the gospel so that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And elsewhere he speaks of his preaching among the Gentiles being in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, even as they also received the word with joy of the Holy Spirit. To the Holy Spirit was entrusted the entire work of revealing and carrying out through the succeeding ages the riches of the glory of this secret or mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All mission work has been placed under the direction of the Holy Spirit. In every department of that work, his guidance is to be sought and can be counted upon. Missions are indeed the work of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We may well ask how it happens that in these days we so little use the language of Scripture in regard to our mission work. It is to be feared that it is greatly owing to a lack of that living faith in the Holy Spirit, whose work it is to reveal the great mystery of God in the heart, to rouse its affections and its purpose, and to empower for all the service that is needed to carry out God's blessed will. It is not enough that the Spirit should reveal this hidden mystery of God to the prophets and the apostles, to preachers and believers of true devotion, so that through them the church may become acquainted with his plans. Rather, each person who hears needs to receive individually the teaching of the Spirit, if the blessed secret is really to master and possess him. We consider it a great step forward when a church or a congregation has yielded itself to the call to take a part in the great work of evangelizing the nations. And yet, this may possibly be nothing more than from a sense of duty and a readiness to take a part in all the activities of the church. Much more is needed if believers are indeed to be brought under the influence of the great truth that missions are the chief aim of the church, the one object for which every congregation and therefore every individual believer exists. When the Holy Spirit is honoured and waited on, when in preaching and in writing, in prayer and in Christian conversation, when in all work within the church to train her for her great calling, and when in all work in the mission field to conquer the heathen for Christ, the dependence upon the Holy Spirit is counted the first and essential element of success, then the church will be able to carry out its Lord's commands. When the Holy Spirit in our missionary committees and meetings and conferences takes the place that was given to him in the primitive church, we may expect that his power will be demonstrated as in the early days. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the farthest parts of the earth. These were the very last words of our Lord upon earth. They linked the promise of the Spirit with the ends of the earth. The fullness of the Spirit will only be given in connection with the extension of the kingdom. The power for carrying the gospel to those near or far off is absolutely dependent on the measure of the Spirit's presence. Every prayer for the power of the Spirit to be revealed ought to have as its aim the power to testify for Jesus. As the number of believers increase, who have power to prevail with God in prayer for the Spirit, will the church become strong for preaching the gospel to every creature. The connection between these thoughts and our life of secret devotion is close and vital. Paul spoke to believers of the conflict he had in unceasing prayer for the churches among the heathen, even those he had not yet seen. He asked them to labour and strive with him in prayer for his work of preaching to the Gentiles. Prayer was not to be only to supply the needs of the spiritual life, but a training school for the exercise of the highest powers of our being in God's service, as a conflict with the powers of darkness, as a fellowship with the cross and its intercession, as a stirring up of our strength to take hold of God and to prevail with him for his blessing on men around us. It is in secret prayer that consciousness grows in an increasing number of believers amid a deep sense of unworthiness and helplessness. I have power with God. He will listen to me. He will give an answer. That our mission work will become more than ever a triumph of the cross in its power on our own life, before the throne of heaven, and on the battlefield in heathendom. Let us test our devotions by the bearing they have and the influence they really exercise on the fulfilment of the mystery of Christ in the world. Let us believe that in the inner chamber the work can be done that will count for eternity, and that there the power can be received that will make itself felt in whatever sphere God allots us in the establishment of his kingdom upon earth. And let us not fear in our measure to say what Paul said of himself. To me, less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Let our devotions ever be an entire yielding to the Blessed Spirit. We may count on him to lead us into the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And our prayer will increasingly become for the power of the Holy Spirit to permeate all that is being done for mission work, whether within the church or through it among the heathen.